How do you view sin? How do you view sin? And many of us, we view things differently in our lives. Some of us, maybe this past week, maybe we've gotten some Christmas gifts this past week that were, we really liked them, and man, we're looking on them, and when someone asks us what we got for this Christmas, well, you know, there was a bunch of things that we got, but there's that one thing that we talk about, and we say, oh man, yeah, this was it, this is what I got, and we're so excited about that. And some of the other things, we kind of don't really mention them too much, but that one thing we take and we focus on. How do we view sin in our lives? Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that we read this morning already in Revelation that God's word is true and faithful. Revelation 21:5 that we read, his word is true and faithful, and God speaks specifically about sin. Now listen, I don't like it in my life whenever God tells me that I am a sinner. And why is that? Well, that doesn't build me up. That doesn't encourage me. But guess what? It is truth that I need for my life. Because you see, if no one tells me that I'm a sinner and that I have sin, then I can't have the problem fixed, can I? Because that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to give his blood on the cross that our sin may be forgiven. There was a gentleman, his name was Dr. Wilbur Chapman, and he used to tell of a Methodist preacher who often spoke on the subject of sin. And this is how he defined sin. He said, it is an abominable thing that God hates. Sin is an abominable thing that God hates. And a leader in his congregation came to him on one occasion and urged him to stop using that ugly word. He said, Pastor, he said, we wish you would not speak so plainly about sin. Our young people hearing you will be more likely to indulge in sin. Call it something else, an inhibition, an error, or a mistake, or even a twist in our nature. We even hear sin being defined today as a disease. And it's not a disease, it is sin. The preacher said, I understand what you mean. And he began to go through his desk a little bit. And in his desk, he took and he pulled out a bottle. And he said, this bottle contains strychnine. And you will see that the red label here reads poison on the label. Now he said, would you suggest that I take that label off and I put another label on this that says wintergreen? And you see, he made his point. We can take sin and we can call it by any name that we want to, but it's still sin that's there. And we would never think of letting our children play with poison or explosive, but yet many churches today, they don't want the pastor to preach on sin. Or to deal with sin. And maybe you're sitting here and maybe you're scratching your head and you're thinking, Pastor, what are we doing, man? We're supposed to be hearing a New Year's message going into the new year. Well, let me tell you something. 2020 is going to be a great year for you the more that we confess our sin. The more that we take and we let God have our sin. And God will work in our lives. And really, that's what 1 John, that's what the book is about. It's about fellowship with God. It's about fellowship with man. And listen, if we have sin in our lives that is unconfessed, we're going to have a hard time fellowshipping with God, aren't we? We will. And man, if we have unconfessed sin in our lives with each other, boy, that's really going to hinder our fellowship with each other. John was not passive in dealing with sin, and he boldly proclaims the truths of sin. We're going to begin reading at verse number 4, and we're going to go down to verse 10. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. Listen, this is what sin is. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. Are you catching this? This is why Jesus came, that he might destroy the works of who? The devil. Yeah. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Is this the children of God? In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Father, we ask that you would help us today as we open up your word and as we deal with this passage in 1 John chapter 3, that you would help us to see sin in the way that you see sin. Lord, that we would put it aside. And Father, that it might not be named of us. And Lord, that you would help us in this fellowship with you and with others, that we would confess our sin, that we would have forgiveness of our sin. We thank you for sending Jesus to come and to give his blood for our sin. We love you, Lord. Work in our hearts now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so how do you see sin? Seeing sin for what it truly is. Now this passage here, it says that all of us, we have a tendency to sin. Why is that? Because that is how we are born. We are born into this world sinners. And so that is what we know how to do. And really that's really what we know how to do best. Is to sin. And nobody has to teach us how to sin, but it's something that just comes natural from us and who we are. And he tells us this in verse number 4 and verse number 6, that the tendency we all have to sin. And we have that tendency that is there. And he says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. That's what sin is. Listen, our society has kind of developed this anything goes mentality. Listen, you only live once, right? So let's live it up and let's enjoy it. And man, we hear that all over. Listen, there's plenty of kids going to other Bible colleges, and that is what their thinking is. Listen, they may go to a college that's not the number one Bible college, but maybe it's the number one party college in the nation. And what's their motto? Listen, hey, everyone else is doing it, so it must not be that bad. Is it? And few see the significance in sin and dangers that are associated with it. And John tells us that sin is the transgression of the law. Really, it is rebellion against God. It's rebellion against Him. It's God, it's us saying, God, listen. I know what's good for me. God, I know what I need. I know what needs to be done. And listen, that maybe doesn't involve you, God. And we go against God's holiness and we go against God's expectations for us. And sin, the Bible says that sin is enmity with God. They don't go together. They're enemies. They're separated. Those who dwell in sin have no fellowship with God. Those who remain in sin, never being pardoned of sin through the atonement of Christ, have no relationship with God. If we've never been saved, if we've never been born again, those songs that we sang about the blood, if the blood isn't applied to our lives, we have no forgiveness with God. We have no salvation with God. As believers, we're not bound by the law. It's not the means of our salvation. But listen, there's a standard that is there. Listen, we realize that's why God gave the Bible. That's why God gave the law whenever He was giving that to Moses. A lot of times we take and we look at the law, we look at the Ten Commandments, and we think of, oh, well, these are things that I am not supposed to do. And you see, the law can't save us. The law can only point out our sin. And we cannot embrace sin and please God. Clearly, sin bears a great significance. It cannot be ignored. Those songs that we sang about the blood this morning, that's why Jesus, God's only begotten Son, came and gave His life because of our sin. Our sin had separated us from Him. And what does the Bible say is the consequence of sin? In verse 6 it says, whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, and neither know Him. And on the surface, the verse maybe kind of seems a little bit hard to be received or to be able to understand it. Because who among us here has lived without sin? Who in here is above sin? The Bible tells us no one. No one. Now, sometimes it's interesting whenever you get down. We have a Good News Club with children in kindergarten through second grade over here on Tuesdays, and about 40 of the little guys and girls come in, and when you're there and whenever you're talking with them and you're getting down to a counseling situation, and maybe they've heard a Bible story and Bible truths, and man, you begin to ask them in their lives and you begin to talk with them about sin. It's always interesting of some of the different answers that you get. I remember the one time I was talking to a little first grader, and we were talking about sin and if she had ever done anything wrong. And I remember with the most serious expression, she looked at me and said, "No, I've never done anything wrong in my life." I was like, wow. And we began to talk about that and talk about other things some more. And listen, the longer we live in this life, we know that we're a sinner. We know that we've done wrong things. And we know that we are apart from God. And we can't honestly say that, hey, I am above sin. We can't honestly say that I don't commit sin anymore. And we have to understand this context that John is speaking here in these verses. And what is he saying here? He's saying, whosoever abides in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, and neither has known him. And what are they saying here when he used that word sinneth there? That word sinneth has the idea of that we are continuing to sin in our lives. It is an ongoing thing that we are doing. We continue to sin and sin and sin. John speaks of those who live in sin never having been born again in Christ. Their lives are dominated by sin. And they don't have a care for Christ, for Jesus, or the things of Him. Do you know what they want to do? They want to continue to live it up. They want to continue to party. They want to continue to be apart from Jesus. And he says, they have not seen him, they have not encountered the Lord, and nor are they known of him. What are they? The Bible says that they're lost. They're lost like the lost sheep of Israel. Their loss. And listen, that certainly blows a large hole in the argument of, well, hey, listen, it's just a little white lie, okay? Look, it don't matter if it's white, black, red, yellow, or green. It doesn't matter what color it is. It's a lie, you know? It doesn't matter, well, excuse me. It doesn't matter, well, only a little sin isn't going to hurt all that bad. And many see no real consequence to their sin, especially whenever we are younger, okay? Whenever we're younger. Man, whenever we're younger, listen, if we take and we commit a sin, we just go and ask forgiveness for it. And boy, it's settled. But we don't tend to think of some of the ongoing consequences of sin in our lives. And as you begin to get older and older, and as you begin to read and study this Bible more and more, we see that there are consequences to sin. And even me as a father, as I take and as I read this book, and you read about consequences getting passed down to the next generation and the generation after that, man, it really makes you stop and think, maybe I ought to act a little bit different. Maybe I gotta change something in my life and confess that sin before God and turn from that sin. Continuing sin with no desire for reconciliation to God through sanctification in Christ confirms that a person is apart and separated from the Lord. Now listen, those who are believers, those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior, listen, whenever they sin, look, they know something is wrong. And they know that they got to get that wrong thing right. Turn over in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. Why is that? How does that work? Whenever a believer sins, man, it just eats away at you. You lay there and listen, that's some of the worst nights of sleep you can ever have in your life. Whenever you know that you are wrong with God or you're at wrong with someone else and there is something there and oh man, you can't sleep. It's terrible. You can be on the nicest, softest Serta Pella in bed that you can have, but it's miserable being on there. Why is that? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 tells us, for God who commanded the what? The light to shine out of darkness has shined where? In our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And you see, that light is there. God's word is there. And it's revealing things that we need to make right with God and with others. And oh, friend, whenever we have that there, don't just ignore it. Don't just think it's going to go away, but we need to go to God and we need to confess that. We need to get that, go to the other person, confess that, break that out in the open to them that it may be forgiven and our fellowship can be restored. So we see the seriousness of sin that is there. And we have a tendency to sin. Not only do we see that tendency, but we also see what sin does. A tragedy of sin. Look back in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. And that's the reality. He that commits sin is of the devil. And why is that? For the devil sinneth from the beginning. The beginning of what? Since the beginning when the world is made. And I assure you, those who demand tolerance do not like this truth, but that does not negate its relevance. Sin originates with Satan, with the devil. And those who continually commit sin without any remorse or sense the need of repentance, they're of the devil. They're not of God's. And listen, that's the truth. Everyone in this room, we are either a child of God's or we are a child of Satan's. And it's the truth not only in this room, but everywhere we go. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in Costa Rica, doesn't matter if you're in the Philippines or Africa or Asia or Antarctica, okay? People are either a child of God's or they are a child of Satan's. We're either saved and acceptable to God through Christ, okay, not of ourselves, but through Jesus, or we remain in our sin, and we remain associated with Satan. We remain associated with his desires. That's the reality of the world that we live in, and has been since the creation in the beginning. And so that's the reality. The reality. And listen, he says in verse 10, in this, the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. One cannot hope to live as they please, living a life filled with sin in an effort to satisfy our flesh and our fleshly desires to be accepted of God. Listen, God sees all. The Bible tells us that the eyes of the Lord, they what? They go to and fro. All over the earth. And there can be no doubt that he knows, listen, he knows all who belong to him. He knows. All that are saved and only the saved will inhabit heaven, and all that are lost, and only the lost, will be condemned of God, judgment, in hell, for eternity. That's the ultimate consequence of not trusting in Christ as Savior, of not being saved, of not being born again. Whatever Bible term you want to use, That's the ultimate, is to be separated from God in a place called hell. Our relationship with Jesus, it's not something that we just hope it exists. You know, you ever talk with some folks like that? Maybe you're talking with them about Jesus. Maybe you've knocked on their door, or maybe you've seen them on the street, and you're talking with them about Jesus and a relationship with Him. And they say, "Oh, well, whenever I die, whenever I go to heaven, boy, I hope I get in." And you know that word there of hope is like, it's like a 50-50 chance, you know, if I get in, you know. It's like when you buy a raffle ticket, it's like, oh, boy, I got a chance of winning here, you know. Not that we go and buy raffle tickets, but there's just a hope that has no substance there. I hope I get in. I hope I got a relationship with Him. And listen, We know if we got a relationship with someone or not. Listen, if we haven't called our mother and our father in 10 years and we haven't spoken with them, do we have a relationship with them? No, we don't. And listen, if the only thing that a person has with God is whenever they're in trouble, they say, "Lord, help me with this." That's not a relationship with God. That's a lamp we're trying to rub a genie to come out of because we got problems again. Okay? That's not a relationship with God. Listen, there can be no doubt that God knows all who belong to Him. How do we know that we belong with God? Well, listen, He says that He has allowed this light to shine in the darkness of our hearts. And the Bible tells us that His Spirit, it bears witness with our spirit. And we can know that we are God's, that we are His, that we are saved. And listen, we can have doubts, okay? After people get saved, listen, I don't think there's not a person that I've talked to that has never had a doubt if they were saved. Listen, I had doubts after I got saved. Whenever I was a teenager, I got saved whenever I was 7 years old at Vacation Bible School. And after I got saved, there was no real good teaching that was there that was saying, "Hey, look, whenever you're saved, whenever you've been born again, there's no becoming unsaved. When you're born, you're born." Now listen, you can sin and you can break fellowship with God, but you're still saved and you still know Christ as Savior, okay? And I struggled with that. Man, whenever I was 8 years old and 9 years old and 10 years old and 13 years old and 15 years old and 18 years old and 19 years old, I struggled with that. And there were many times that I asked Jesus to be my Savior again and again and again. And why is that? Well, because, you know, I'd sinned and I knew I had done wrong, or maybe I had gone a long period of time of sinning and going against God. And, you know, we like to say, well, it was nothing major wrong. It doesn't matter. It was wrong. Okay? And just having that there and knowing that my fellowship with God was broken, except I didn't know it was my fellowship that was broken. I thought it was my salvation that was broken. And that's why I kept believing on Christ again for my to be my Savior. And listen, that's what God is, that's what He's trying to tell us here. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. Listen, whenever you're saved, you are saved. If you really got saved, you are saved. That's the question that folks like to bring up whenever we talk about, whenever the Bible talks about being saved, being born again. And you say, well, what about this guy that taken, man, he's turned away from God and he has went his own way. And boy, back here in his life, he professed Christ as Savior and he did all these good things. And now look at him. He's gone off the deep end. Well, listen, we know that in the field, that in this earth, the wheat and the tares are going to grow together, aren't they? They are. And the tares at the beginning, they look like wheat, don't they? They do. They do. And it's not until it's revealed, maybe later on, that they really were lost. They never were saved. And listen, we know if we have a relationship with God or we don't have a relationship with God. And I've doubted at times, but those who are born again in Christ, they know it. They know it. Those who have never trusted in Christ as their Savior, they know it also. They're aware of their condition too. And listen, that's the tragedy of sin. And whenever, if we are saved and we know Christ is our Savior, and whenever we sin, listen, there's always going to be doubts there. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to get into our minds and he wants to make us doubt God. That's what he did from the very beginning, didn't he? Whenever he entered into the serpent and the serpent began to talk to Eve. And he made her what? He made her doubt God. God's goodness for her. God's plan for her. And so there's a remedy for sin. And we need a remedy for sin. And clearly sin is a major problem with eternal consequences. It separates us from God and it sends, we get sent to a place called hell. But listen, we are not without hope. Look at verse 5, the very first part of it. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins. Look down at verse 8 and the last part of it where it says, For this purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Listen, that's why Jesus came to this earth. He came to this earth for a purpose. It wasn't just to follow Joseph around and to make more chairs or to do more carpentry work, okay? That's not his purpose here in this world. Since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, sin has entered every man's heart. Every man has been born a sinner, and that sin created enmity with God. We're against God. And Jesus could not accept us. God could not accept us because we have sin. Okay? Listen, it's like some of us, whenever we go to a restaurant, okay? And we sit down and man, we're looking forward to the nice food that comes and eating and having fellowship with our families and man, it comes over. And the plates, they bring the plate over and it's sitting there and maybe the first scoop of mashed potatoes that we take, they are ice cold on the plate. And what do? We say, could I get my mashed potatoes a little bit warmed up? I think they would taste a little bit better. And we don't accept it, do we? And we turn it back, okay? Now, maybe you like cold mashed potatoes, okay, but I'm not a real big fan of cold mashed potatoes whenever they come. And we take and we turn that back. And listen, that's the same way it is with us. Whenever we have sin, whenever a person that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, when they come before God, God says, I'm sorry. You can't come to heaven. And the only other option from heaven is hell. And we see a purity here that God has. Sin is a work of the devil. When Jesus came, he came to clean all that up, to cleanse us from our sin, to reconcile us with God. Man, that's what I love about Jesus, because he has something that I in myself could never have. And that's a purity, a holiness about him. But listen, whenever I am in him, whenever I am in him, I don't have my holiness. What do I have? I have his holiness. I have his purity. Look at the end of verse 5, and it says, and in him, in Jesus, is no sin. It's no sin. Sin is the problem for all of the world. And all stand in need of a cleansing from sin. All stand in need of salvation with Christ. And listen, there had to be a perfect sacrifice. Listen, whenever you sit down and whenever you read in the Old Testament, I'm kind of making my way through the book of Judges now. But whenever they took and whenever they brought those sacrifices before the Lord, it had to be a lamb without what? A lamb without blemish. A lamb without spot. It had to be a perfect one. And listen, that lamb didn't save them, but it was looking forward to the Lamb of God that would save them. The lamb that is perfect. One who had no sin, one who had no doubt, no guilt. And listen, Jesus, he's the only one. He's the only one that fit that bill. Had Jesus known sin, had Jesus committed a sin in his life, his death on the cross would mean nothing. And those songs that we sang about this morning about his blood, it would mean nothing. It would be no different than the thief that was on his right hand and the other one that was on his left. But listen, because Jesus is perfect, he could purchase our redemption. And listen, what God is saying here, he's saying, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. And listen, what's that saying? It's saying that we have victory over sin. Not because of anything that we do, but it's because of everything of what Christ has done. We have the victory over sin. What does that mean? That means that we can say no to sin. And we can say no all day long. Okay? That tie between us and sin has been cut. It's been conquered by Jesus. Now listen, what does that mean? Well, you know what? Not only do we have the spiritual person that is inside of us, but we still live in what? The flesh, don't we? The flesh. And we have to battle the flesh. Our pride, our arrogance, our wanting to get on top, our doing anything to get on top, our jealousy that comes up. And listen, we can have victory over sin. We're born with a sin nature. However, it is impossible to enjoy victory over sin in Christ. You see, we're regenerated. We are a new creature. That's what the front of our bulletin said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Let's go ahead and turn over there. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, are you in Christ this morning? Have you been saved? Amen. It says that what? He is a new creature. He's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And you see, God has made us a new person. He has saved us from sin, and we can have victory over sin. Victory over sin. And what a great thing that is. Now listen, we're going to fall. Okay? Why is that? Because we still live in this flesh. We're going to fall and we're going to do things that don't please God. But whenever we do, if we are truly saved, that light is going to shine. And what does that mean? That's God telling us and working on us, saying, listen, this isn't right. Listen, there's something wrong that's here. Listen, we need to get this right. You need to get this right. And we know. And listen, and God wants a fellowship with us like nobody else desires in this world. Listen, whenever we come to terms with that concept, that will change your way of thinking and that will change your way of life. Because you see, now all of a sudden, even though I'm a married man and I love my wife very much, my fulfillment doesn't come from her. But my fulfillment comes from Jesus. Because he wants a relationship with me like no other. He wants to spend time with me. He wants to get to know me. He wants to be there whenever I'm down. Listen, whenever I sin against him, listen, it hurts him more than it hurts me. Because that relationship is broken that is there. And listen, he wants us to come and he wants us to get it right. And he has preserved us. And that's a great thing that is there. And listen, God, he wants us to be holy. He wants us to be pure. That's why he's called us to it, not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament and in Peter. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And it's because of Jesus. And so, friend, listen, as you start 2020 this year, look, start it off on the right foot with God. Look, if you need to be saved, it's time to stop dilly-dallying around. And it's time to come. It's time to know Jesus as your Savior. And listen, maybe you already know him. You know Christ is your Savior. You know you have a relationship with him. But listen, maybe there's sin that's there that has broken your fellowship with him. Maybe there's sin that's there that's broken fellowship with a person that you know. And listen, go and get it right. Go to Jesus and get it right with him. Listen, go to that person. After you've gotten it right with Jesus, go to that person. Get it right with them. And have forgiveness and have restoration in that relationship again. Let's pray.